Psalm 103. And this is one of my favorite portions of Scripture that I read almost every day because it speaks so much and reveals so much about God's plan for us. And so we're going to have a little fun this morning. I've got an illustrative sermon for you. And it's based solely on that psalm, Psalm 103. Now the psalmist, the author of this psalm was David. And David begins with blessing the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now David begins this psalm with thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. You'll find this phrase all throughout this portion of Scripture. And you'll find it as it gets towards the end. But what David is doing is sharing with us the heart and the attitude that we need to have if we're going to live a successful life for Christ. See, life is not stagnant or stationary. It's always fluid. We're always moving. In other words, we're on a journey. Would you agree with that? The Bible, and I'll give you a couple illustrations. In the Old Testament, it says, trust in the Lord, Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all His ways, and He will direct your path. Now that word path literally means a road traveled or a course of life. In the book of Hebrews, we're encouraged to run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so we all have a path to walk. We all have a race to run. And the Bible tells us how we should run that race. As I said, our life in Christ is not stagnant, but it's moving. And so the Scripture paints a beautiful picture and shows us redemption. Shows us what Jesus did for us in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And so now we need to focus on Him and follow Him as He leads us and guides us through life. Don't get stuck. You're on a journey. Now follow along with me. Some people get stuck at the cross. The cross is important. The cross is pivotal. The cross is where redemption was fulfilled. But Jesus is not on the cross anymore. He went from the cross to the tomb. Many people focus on the tomb. Well, thank God for the tomb. Thank God for the resurrection. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, our redemption would have been worthless. We would all be wasting our time. But thank God He did rise from the dead. But He's not in the tomb. The Bible tells us what to focus on. And it says this in Colossians 3:1. If you are risen with Christ, then set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And so our focus is not on the cross, our focus is not on the tomb, our focus is on Jesus Himself. He's alive, He's seated at God's right hand, and He's leading us corporately and individually on our journey. Can you see that? Now, we don't diminish any of those points along the way. The cross is so important. Without the cross, you have nothing. The resurrection's important. Without that, you have nothing. But we have Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah.
who died on the cross, who's raised from the dead, and now seated at God's right hand. He is leading us and guiding us by His Holy Spirit. So, let's look again at Psalm 103. The psalmist tells us that there are some things that we should never forget as we journey for Jesus, as we journey for Christ. Now, many times you can go on a journey, you can go on a trip, and you might forget something, and it's of minor consequence. For example, you're packing your bags to travel, and you forgot to put your toothbrush in the bag. Hey, no biggie. You can buy a toothbrush just about any place. There are drugstores and everywhere. Grocery stores everywhere. If you forget something like that, it's a minor thing, no big deal. Don't sweat it. But there are some things as you're traveling, if you forget them, it's a deal breaker. A few years ago, my wife and I were in Philadelphia, and I was ministering at Pastor Martin's church, and we left our hotel room, and we're headed down the hall, and had gotten all the way to the elevator. And I remembered, I forgot my car keys. Now, I was doing the will of God, I was well-intentioned, and I was dressed pretty good that day. I mean, we looked good. That did not matter. Without those car keys, I'm not going anywhere. The car keys were a deal breaker. The car keys were essential. Without the car keys, we're not going to the church. I can stand outside that car and pray, cry, shout, dance. Without the car keys, we're not moving. So there are some things in life that are essential. You must take them with you. So we're going to talk about the essentials this morning. Here's one of the first essentials. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." What was David doing? He was being thankful. That's what the Hebrew word means in this passage. The Hebrew word barak, which literally means to bend the knee and give thanks. Listen, if you're going to be successful as a Christian, you need to have an attitude of gratitude. You need to thank God continually. Now, I happened to be, my wife and my sister-in-law were there. Some of you were there. We went to a gospel concert the other night, night before last. And these guys were okay. And the leader of the group got up and began to thank God for adversity and for trouble and for hardship. And I thought, well, God bless him. You know, but some people just don't know. All right? The Bible does say, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It does not say, for everything give thanks. Hardship, trial, tribulation are not God's method of maturing you. In fact, many times, hardship, trial, and tribulation are the result of not knowing how to pack your bag properly. Or not being in the will of God. Or simply a tool that Satan uses to destroy you. I've had Christian people that the enemy has attacked them from all sides, and they think God's doing something, when they don't realize the devil's trying to beat their brains out and they ain't got sense enough to know it. Everything that's bad doesn't come from God. Are you with me? And so we need to be thankful in every situation. Not necessarily for the situation, but because of who God is and because of what Jesus does. So when hardship comes, you can say, "Thank God, you're the God of my provision. You're the possessor of heaven and earth. And I'm not concerned about it because I know you're more than enough to help me through this thing." So I thank God in it, not necessarily for it. You with me? You got it? So, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. We need to have an attitude of gratitude. Always thanking God for His goodness and His grace. Always. Now, what else did he say? Let's look at this psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. We're on a journey. There are certain things you need to have. You cannot forget them. These are not incidentals. These are deal breakers. Number one, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. Boy, this is something we need to pack and carry with us continually.
Yes, sir.
And thank God for redemption. Thank God for the new birth. Thank God for righteousness. Thank God our sins are forgiven. Now, many people struggle with this. And as they travel and journey in life, they think like the old person they used to be. When in fact, God has wiped your canvas clean.
Amen.
In fact, the Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow.
Amen.
The redemptive work of Christ is transformative. Jesus didn't come to cover your sins. Jesus came to wash away your sins. Now God has a beautiful canvas on which He can begin to paint the journey of your life. You with me? Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. God doesn't see a dirty canvas. You might say, oh Father, I feel so unworthy. I remember all that bad stuff I used to do. And God's looking at a clean slate saying, what is wrong with him? What is wrong with her? Don't diminish the redemptive work of Christ. It was strong enough to make you righteous, to wash away all your sin. And so you've got to realize it. You've got a clean slate. Amen? And the great thing is, our redemption is so complete that even if you find yourself in a situation where you miss it, sin. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so the Scripture says to believers, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God sees you as though sin had never been. He forgives you the moment you confess. You know, it's funny, I realized many, many years ago, you know, when the Bible says confess your sins, that's not when He finds out about it. But that's when you get rid of it. So He forgives and He cleanses. So you've got to pack that in your bag. Otherwise, you will not be able to complete your journey. You with me? Well, what else does the psalmist say? He forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Man, you better have your healing first aid kit with you wherever you travel. And you might think, well, it's no big deal. I'll just leave that one on the shelf. Many have done that. Well, that's cool. You might say, well, I'm young and I'm healthy. You know, I know that God is able. Yeah, you know. Well, I tell you what, you better pack this, because if you don't know that He bore your sickness and carried your pain, when something major comes down the road, you're in trouble. Are you with me? Because you forgot about healing. You forgot that, I don't know why, every time I stand in that spot, it just goes out. All right, I'll avoid that spot. But I don't know if it's the monitor or what. Hey, anyway. Healing is part of God's redemptive plan.
Amen.
It's not an afterthought. It's not a sideline. Are you with me?
Yes.
Healing was a third of what Jesus did in His public ministry. Amen. Healing belongs to you. I shared this on Wednesday night. And just to show you how powerful this truth is. If you look at the life of Peter, this man knew more about the healing power of God than anybody on the planet other than Jesus. After the resurrection, Peter was the one who walked down the streets of Jerusalem. And the scripture says they brought people from all the cities and villages round about, and they laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter overshadowing them might, they might be overshadowed. In other words, they wanted to get where his shadow would hit them. And the scripture says they were healed, every one. Now that's a powerful thing. There's no record of anybody ever doing anything like that before. Peter was the one who grabbed the guy at the gate and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter was the one who was with Jesus for 3.5 years. Peter was the one at his house in Matthew chapter 8. His mother-in-law was healed of a severe fever. And then the scripture says almost the whole city was at the door. And he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. Peter was there. It was at his house. And years later, he writes to the church and says, Jesus Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we should be dead to sin, but alive to righteousness. And then he said this, by whose stripes you were healed. Peter pointed back at the cross and said, healing belongs to you because of redemption. Listen, my friend, you better pack it in your bag. So when the enemy attacks your body, you are ready. Amen? So He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. Next one, who redeems your life from destruction. Who redeems your life from destruction. Literally, this passage refers to the pit or hell. In other words, Jesus paid the price. But there's something deeper here in this truth that the psalmist didn't necessarily explore. But the New Testament tells us that we have been redeemed from the hand of our enemies. Well, who might that be? The Bible says that we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So we've been delivered from the jurisdiction or the authority of darkness. You've got to know this, that you're no longer a slave to that kingdom. You don't belong to Satan anymore. You don't belong to that kingdom anymore. You're a kingdom, a citizen, that is, of the kingdom of God. Now, if you're doing any traveling, and you're going to travel outside the United States, there's one thing that you must have. It's called a passport. This is my passport. It identifies me as a citizen of the United States of America. And so that means in most countries I can travel. Some countries you have to ask permission and get a visa. But this gives you access to so much. This entitles you to so much. If you're ever in a foreign country and you run into problems, go to the U.S. Embassy with your passport. In many instances, they'll make sure you get home. You with me? I remember years ago I was in Europe and I was flying back to the United States. And, you know, this was a situation, you know, at airports security is pretty tight. And I had to go through 2 security checks. Not only security checks, but I had to do 2 interviews with these security people. And the first thing they asked me was, "Where's your passport?" And so I'd show my passport. They would look at it, and they would start asking me questions. "Where have you been? What'd you do? Did anybody else have your luggage?" Y'all ever been there before? And so I got through that security checkpoint. And then they set up another one, an extra screening, just to make sure that nobody dangerous got on that plane. Well, the passport gives you access to so much. Listen, I don't care how well-intentioned you are. If you get on that plane or go to the airport and you don't have your passport, you're not going anywhere. Are you with me? And many times, Christian people don't realize that they've been delivered from destruction. They don't realize they're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. They leave their passport at home and they think that they're going to have a successful journey. Wrong. You better use what belongs to you. Are you with me? He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, that's a strange expression. And when we think of a crown, we think of something like this. This really does not do justice to what the Scripture is talking about. Not the fact that you have a crown. But that word literally means He surrounds you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And it almost paints a picture like somebody with a nice blanket or throw. I know you ladies love your throws. You love your blankets. You with me? What does it do? Surrounds you. Just envelops you. It's wrapped all around you. God has surrounded you with favor and mercy. Now, it's to the extent that you could almost wear it like a garment or a crown. A crown is something that's placed upon you. But I'm telling you, redemption is so deep and so powerful that it not only saves you from hell, but it envelops you, wraps you up with God's favor, with God's kindness, and His mercy. There are some places, I'm telling you, you don't want to go unless you got your mercy and your favor. You need your mercy and your favor. It's like having a blanket in the wintertime. You can go outside when it's cold if you want to. Think, oh, I'm tough. I can survive. Yeah, okay. That won't last long. Amen. He envelops us with favor and mercy. Then He says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, and I thought of doing something with my favorite restaurant, Panera Bread. But this isn't what the verse is talking about. All right? It's not talking about the food that you eat. I thought about getting a megaphone because we know that faith has a voice, but that's not what this verse is talking about. What it simply means, it literally refers to the mouth of a horse or the bridle. And in ancient times, if somebody was blessed or had wealth or means, they would show it off by adorning the bridle of their horse with different things. They'd hang jewelry and metal and things that were bright to show, hey, I'm blessed. Look at my horse, man. My horse is styling. You with me? Well, we don't ride horses anymore, most of us. But this simply lets us know that God's grace and mercy is so overwhelming that you can't help but prosper. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to do well. And so He wants to satisfy your mouth. One translation says, He satisfies your life with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Eagles soar high. Amen? Now, that word renew also has an element or an aspect to it that it also means to repair something. And so here's the transformative fact that we need to not forget. That God will renew or repair our lives and enable us to reach a place where we can soar like an eagle. And so maybe you've had areas of breakdown or mistake or bad things in your life. That's okay. God hadn't given up on you. You are that new creature in Christ. You have been healed. He surrounds you with His favor and His mercy, and He will help you to repair what is broken. Amen? Now, you might feel like you're in the pen with a bunch of turkeys. That's all right. Let Him finish with you. You'll soon soar. Amen? You'll rise above it. Now, with all of this, remember the attitude that we have. Thankfulness. Thanksgiving. These are the things that we need to constantly remind ourselves of. These are things we need to keep in our travel bag. In other words, don't leave home without it. Are you with me? Don't forget these things. These are the essentials. You've got to have them. You've got to know them. You've got to walk in them if your journey is going to be successful. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful for righteousness. I'm thankful for healing. I'm thankful that He surrounded me with grace and with mercy. I'm thankful that He's delivered me from the pit. Glory to God. I'm not only a citizen of the United States, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. And I got my passport. Amen? That gives me access. Glory to God. I remember years ago, we were in the Bahamas. And there again, going through a security check. Everything's cool. Headed for the plane. And one of the security people pulled my daughter aside and said, I'd like to talk to you. And I thought, uh-oh. And I saw my daughter's eyes get big. And you know what I did? I walked over to the security person. I said, I'm her father. I said, I'm going with her. And the security person looked at me. I had my passport in my hand. And she said, oh, that's okay. Never mind. Go ahead and get on the plane. I thought, praise God. So I wanted my daughter to know, I don't care what you go through, I'm right there with you, baby. You with me? And the security person knew, you don't just deal with her, you deal with her and her father. Well, guess what? As you journey through life, not only do you have God's grace and protection with you, but if anything pops up, they got to deal with God. As long as you don't forget who you are. As long as you pack your bag right and you have the essentials at your disposal, everything's going to be all right. Amen? Did you learn anything this morning? Let's all stand. Hallelujah.